You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. All right, we're all friends here. Tell me, what spooks you? What raises the hair on your arms or causes you to skip a beat? For me, it's those slasher movies with main characters named Freddy, or those reality shows in which people are eating insects who are still wiggling. Now that is not sushi. So guess what? Our pets can also have fears and phobias. And here today to unleash some calming advice and tactics is one of the top dogs in veterinary medicine and behavior. And I'm speaking of Dr. Deborah Horowitz. Hey, welcome to the show, Dr. Deborah.
Thank you, Arden. It's great to be back. I always enjoy talking to you and your audience.
Oh, thank you. You know, we're going to learn how to stop your canine from turning into a big puddle of fear, especially now that thunderstorm season is on the horizon, right after this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back. You're listening to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. There's a bit of deja vu associated with our special guest today. That's because Dr. Deborah Horowitz is making a repeat guest appearance on our show. Way back in episode 33, she talked about cats, and specifically a reality-based TV show called House Cat House Calls that appeared on Animal Planet. Yep, she got catty, and for a good cause then. But today, she's going to the dogs. I couldn't be happier. I mean, today, Dr. Horowitz is going to talk to us a little bit about some of the fears and phobias that our dogs have and some of the things we can do and not do to make their lives a little bit better. So, Dr. Horowitz, with that intro, what's up with our dogs? What makes them into these big old shaking puddles?
Well, first of all, it isn't always maladaptive to be afraid of something. So to be frightened during a thunderstorm, especially here in Missouri where I live, where some of them can really rattle the windows, is not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
So if your dog's quaking a little bit, but isn't under the bed or isn't panting and pacing and scratching at you, maybe that might be a normal response. When it ends up with your dog perhaps waking you in the middle of the night, jumping on your head, trying to escape the house, or really not able to relax, then we might be dealing with a storm phobia, a response that's out of proportion to the stimulus. And that's when owners really need help, and we need to intervene and make our doggies feel a little bit better.
Okay. Now, that said, you actually, not only are you quite knowledgeable in this area of study, and you have your veterinary degree, so you know all about veterinary medicine. You're also one of the top veterinary behaviorists on the planet, but you've also got a personal connection to this topic, too. You want to tell us a little bit about Chelsea?
Well, my dog, Chelsea, who was a Labrador Retriever who lived to be 16 and one of the sweetest dogs that ever lived, was not particularly fond of thunderstorms. And so when it would thunderstorm, she would get very anxious and upset. During the day, not so bad, but at night, she'd tend to wake us up. And so I can sympathize with pet owners who have sleepless nights when their dogs are waking them during thunderstorms. And I found that a lot of the things that I would tell my clients to do really do work to help these dogs do better during storms, so we can teach them to experience a storm at least without that same profound fear and phobic responses that they had before.
You know, I know it's kind of a bad but a good here when you do have a dog that isn't like a perfect dog, right? Doesn't that make you a better veterinarian and a behaviorist in a way?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as the perfect dog, perhaps, but my philosophy is if it doesn't bother the pet owner, it doesn't bother me. And if
okay.
it bothers them, then we need to do something about it. So if it bothers you, then or you find that it is destructive to your dog's life or interfering with the quality of your pet's life, we must intervene and do something about it. And storm phobias really can interfere with a pet's quality of life. They're just terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things, really, that you need to do is determine whether or not the response is inappropriate. So to kind of put it in perspective, while Chelsea would really get upset about thunderstorms, her housemate, Mia the cat, didn't particularly like thunderstorms either, but Mia would just go under the bed, all the way to the back, and stay there till they were gone. Well, that didn't bother us. And then as soon as the storm was over, she would come out and she would be fine. Where Chelsea might be jumping on the bed and pawing at the side of the bed and pacing back and forth and panting all the time, she couldn't sleep, I couldn't sleep, and it was time to intervene.
You teed me right up, so let's go. Here comes the first pitch. You've got a dog that you do realize has out-of-proportion fear to what's happening. What's the first step?
The first step, if we're talking about storm responses, is to see if you can't find a location where you can minimize the input of the stimulus, whatever that might be. So again, going back to Chelsea, thunder didn't bother her so much, but lightning was really the trigger for her. So
okay.
one of the keys was to get her in a room with no windows. So that could be a closet, it could be the basement, it could be an interior bathroom that doesn't have any windows, but it can help to get the dog in there where they can't see the stimulus. Then the second thing that really helps would be to do something that masks the sound of the thunder. So it could be if you're in an interior bathroom, it could be something like white noise, like turning on the fan so that there was not as much background noise that the animal could hear. Sometimes what I do is tell people to turn on some good old rock and roll like the Rolling Stones and compete with the noise. The third thing that you want to do is make sure that your attitude is one that's going to send direction to the dog about what's appropriate.
Okay.
So you don't want to be saying to them, oh, it's all right, it's okay, mostly because since they don't have language, what they might think is happening is that you're telling them it's all right to be trembling and to be afraid. So
yeah.
instead, trying to be relaxed and calm yourself and either engaging the animal in another task. If they like to play ball, maybe you can play ball. If they like a puzzle feeder or a con filled with peanut butter, something that's the opposite emotion of trembling and being all upset.
You know, you touched on a really important thing. I've seen people, and they mean well. They want to hug the pet. They want to baby the pet. And it seems like it's we're only human, I guess, after all. But that could really, really make the thing worse, can it?
Well, what happens is that because they don't have language, they don't understand what you're trying to tell them. And if they continue to tremble and be afraid, then they're telling us it is not okay and it's not all right. So that if their behaviors don't dissipate, if their fear doesn't decline, then you aren't reassuring them. So that's really the best way for people to look at it. If it doesn't decline, then instead of reassuring them about the frightening event, you are telling them that what they're doing is okay. So the trembling is okay. The jumping on your head is okay, which is not what you want to be telling them. So you're better off being matter of fact and giving the dog a command that they already know how to do, like sit or down. But actually, what also is very helpful is to plan in advance. You know that you've got a dog that is afraid of storms. One of the best things you can do is teach your dog how to settle and be calm in a place when there isn't a storm, maybe on a dog bed or on a rug, so that the dog learns that when I'm at this place, I'm relaxed, I'm calm, good things happen to me, and I know what it feels like to be calm and relaxed. And then when it storms, we can take that dog bed, we can take that rug into our dark room, give the dog the cue, and the dog says, oh, yeah, I know what that feels like, and maybe I can do that. So what I tell clients all the time is if your dog can't do it when it's easy, there's no way they're going to do it when it's hard.
I wanted to ask you, you know, that movie, Marley and Me, there was a definite thunderstorm phobia, it seemed like, in Marley. Don't you agree?
I got to say, I didn't see the movie.
Okay, but, well, he, like, tore through drywall. He, you know, just destroyed the garage, and he was panting, lip linking, you know, the whole nine yards. And
then the dog was
packed
probably
90 pounds.
It was very anxious, and anxious dogs will be very destructive, especially when they're confined. And that can be very dangerous for them, which brings us to two other interventions, which for some dogs are extremely important. And that is the use of pheromones and the use of medication. If the dog is so destructive that they're damaging property, and in that process, usually they're damaging themselves and risking being put out of their homes, we really need to do something to help manage that situation. Pheromones are chemical substances put out by the body that have an effect on behavior. And there's a product called Dog Appeasing Pheromone, DAP, that has actually been shown in studies to have an effect on anxiety conditions in dogs. Separation anxiety, firework responses, and storm responses. It comes both as a plug-in diffuser, which is like a scented plug-in, only you can't smell it, just the dog is aware of it. You plug it into the outlet, it has to stay in all the time, and it puts the pheromone in the air and helps calm the dog. It's also available as a collar that the dog wears around their neck, and again, they wear that all the time, and it puts the pheromone sort of around the dog so that they're aware of it. Very easy intervention. It's not a medication, but a pheromone that's species specific, so it won't have an effect on humans or your cat. And for some dogs, it's really quite effective.
I understand, though, they also have it in a little spray, too, that you might be able to take with you when you're traveling.
They do make a spray form of DAP, which has, in studies, shown to be effective for some dogs who suffer from some anxiety in the car. So in thunderstorms, yes, if you're traveling and you want to spray that in your room situation or on a bandana and put it around your dog's neck, that would be an effective way to use that as well.
I bet you were thinking years ago, where was this? You know, pheromones have been around since fleas, but it seems like the advances in veterinary medicine are getting better and more specific.
Oh, I had DAP plug-ins when Chelsea was around, and they really did make a difference for her.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the other intervention is medication. And this is, of course, where you need input from your veterinarian. so that you can discuss with your veterinarian whether or not it's a necessary intervention for your pet and what type of medication. There are many types of medication, and we probably don't have the time to go into all of them, but suffice it to say that our goal would be to use a medication that diminishes anxiety so that we can minimize the stress on the dog, so we can help them experience this event without being quite so panicked. Mm-hmm. And there are some dogs who maybe only need it during the storm, and then there are other dogs who have such profound responses that during thunderstorm season, if you live in a place where storms are quite frequent, they may need it every day during thunderstorm season to prevent them from injuring themselves. And I've had dogs that go out windows and through drywall. And that's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, our producer, Mark Winter, lives in Florida. And years ago, I lived in Florida, in South Florida. And the lightning there does not go horizontally across the sky. It goes straight up and down. And I can remember a time where there was, unfortunately, this is life's irony, there was a lawn company, Lightning Lawn Service, and a guy got electrocuted on the job as he was tying his shoe on the metal bumper of the back end of his truck. And the lightning just go, phew. And
well,
I mean, that's scary.
Storms are very devastating, and they can be very dangerous, so that when you think about it, in some respects, being a little frightened in a thunderstorm probably isn't all that maladaptive. But
right.
When you're really getting worked up and you're damaging yourself or the place that you live, we do need to intervene. And there are lots of things that we can do for these dogs to make it easier for them to learn that thunderstorms are not a devastating event. And it really improves their welfare, because some of these dogs are just off the charts and how crazy they become during the storm season.
Well, I think this is a good time to let people know we're speaking with Dr. Deborah Horowitz. She is a veterinarian and also an animal behaviorist. She is based out of the Missouri area, but you might see her name. She's authored the Blackwell's 5-Minute Veterinary Consult, Clinical Companion, Canine and Feline Behavior with Jackie Nielsen. That's a huge book that I have, actually. It's very good. She's always an in-demand speaker at many of the national veterinary conferences when it comes to behavior. And she's going to be talking to us a little bit about some of the types of medications that dogs that really do have severe phobias, especially to thunderstorms or fireworks or other things, may be able to be helped by. So sit and stay. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. Obehave will be right back.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place with Win with Dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, stay, and get ready to win with dogs. With me, Raquel Wynn. Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge on demand every week right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Wynn, and Win with Dogs.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. OBehave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the OBehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore, and I'm not my usual jokey self because I think this is a pretty serious topic. You know, we love our pets, and we want them to have the very best quality of life that they can have. And sometimes there are things that they respond to that are really exaggerated. It's a fear, just like we have fears. That's the pure definition of a fear or a phobia is that it's a little bit more magnified than necessary. But we can't say to our dogs, hey, it's okay, get over it, because they don't speak people and we don't speak dog. But the closest thing we do have are people like Dr. Deborah Horowitz, who can assist us on some of the strategies. Earlier in the show, as you can tell, she was giving us some good things that we can do in the home before a thunderstorm and during a thunderstorm. But when you find yourself facing a dog that is really extremely fearful of storms or fireworks, there may be times where medication could be a good call. So with that, Dr. Horowitz, let's talk a little bit about some of the medications and maybe the do's and don'ts and your take on them.
Well, the first thing I would like to reiterate is that medications are useful, but it really is important to try and control that environment so that we get the dog in the darkened room and we try to dampen the noise. Those things are very important so that we can get the response we need. One important thing about medication is, in order for it to be most effective, it needs to be on board before the event, which is sometimes hard to do because you don't know when it's going to storm. Mm-hmm. It takes sometimes anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to have an effect from medication that's given orally. And some thunderstorms are only 30 minutes long. So if you wait, then by the time you give the dog the medication and they respond, the storm's long gone.
Yes.
So the first thing is, if you're ready and you're set up with a safe place for your dog that knows that that's a safe place, you can get right there before the panic sets in, give your medication, and you already have those first steps to calmness that are so important.
Very good point to stress.
The types of medications that are commonly used are sedatives and tranquilizers and antidepressants. Now, tranquilizers have been used for quite some time in dogs for storm-related responses. And the problem with tranquilizers is, in general, they don't diminish anxiety really quite well. And what they end up doing is making a dog that's pretty socially non-responsive. They don't want to move, but they still might be panicked. So they're not generally the first line of defense for dogs that are really experiencing extreme phobic responses. A sedative would be things along the lines of benzodiazepines. Those would be the kinds of medications that help diminish anxiety. They're used in humans as well as in animals. And when given 30 to 45 minutes prior to an anxiolytic event, an event that produces anxiety, they help you relax and perhaps be able to perceive the event a little bit differently. And we do use those in dogs, and they can be quite effective, but they need to be dosed fairly frequently, 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay.
Antidepressants, tricyclic antidepressant medications, are used in both dogs and people to manage anxiety over the long term. The ones that we have for use in dogs that are approved for use in dogs are two medications approved for the treatment of separation anxiety, Reconcil and Clomicalm. And those medications have shown that when they're given daily, that they diminish baseline anxiety. So that for dogs with severe thunderstorm responses, we may use a combination of daily medication, that tricyclic antidepressant or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, along with a benzodiazepine, which is a sedative, an anxiolytic, to see if we can't get that dog then to experience the situation without being so panicked. And some of these animals then, if we're able to find the effective combination of medication, over time will be less afraid, especially combined with the darkened room, the noise-canceling type of things that you might use, pheromones that as time goes by, their phobias don't escalate and may even diminish.
Okay. It sounds like, too, though, we unfortunately are in this quick fix kind of society. So it sounds like you really do need to champion small but steady progress or successes, correct?
That's
with your
true.
Dog.
That's mm-hmm. true. But I think in preparing ahead of the storm, it's been my experience that owners who can prepare ahead of the storm, if they're going to be home, mm-hmm. makes a big difference. If they
okay.
spend time teaching their dog where the safe place is, how to behave in that safe place, then when the storm comes, they take the dog to that safe place, the dog understands what's going on, and the owner then feels better. I mean, if you know that you can get your dog to be relaxed and calm inside your walk-in closet, for example, and the dog will go to sleep maybe while you give it a body massage, and there's no storm, you're going to feel comfortable taking your dog there and trying to do the same thing during the storm. And then the dog might relax and go, oh, that's not so bad. I feel safe here. I know how to feel safe here. So you can't underestimate the need for preparation ahead of
okay.
time. Just like we all have our safe places when those sirens go off that we know we need to go in the basement and we're all ready. So all we're talking about is finding that basement, in quotation marks, for your dog.
Yeah, and I like the idea of doing something like a therapeutic massage because the dog will be like in bliss while you're in that non-storm time, and that's also a good memory marker.
Correct. And you brought up a very important point. You have to do it during the non-storm time. During the storm time, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to get bliss because
yeah.
the animal is going to be too upset and not even really understand what you're trying to do. But if the animal knows that this is a calming situation, they will get calmer faster. Just like there's a lot of learning that takes place all the time. And to put it in words that people understand, there's certain situations which automatically just make us go, ah, in certain situations that make us go, oh dear. And if we have an ah situation, if we can evoke that situation in some place where we're normally tense, we feel better. And if we can do the same thing for our dogs, a piece of music that makes us feel relaxed, or when we're depressed makes us feel happy, we put on that record. That's basically what we're doing for our dog. We're setting up that situation where the dog says, oh boy, the closet with my bed with a con with peanut butter, yum, what a great place. Oh, it's a storm, I don't care. Because he already knows that it's a great place.
Yep, you're right. I mean, I have a 60-pound golden retriever husky named Chipper, who usually is quite chipper. She's a very happy dog, but sees or hears a skateboard and turns into a big old trembling puddle. And I took your class, one of your sessions, and you said, you know, you really do have to time the introduction of what's causing it. So I have a friend in the neighborhood named Weston. He's a nice young lad. And we have it so that there's a certain distance where Chipper is perfectly calm and relaxing, and he's down the street with the skateboard. And I wait until Chipper's completely relaxed before I ask Weston to just leave. And because what I don't want to do is have it seem like, you know, I think maybe you can talk about this a little bit better than I am. But the point is, you have to be careful with the timing of introducing something and also making sure that the dog is relaxed and then remove the concern element, right?
That's certainly part of it. The other way to look at it would be to keep the stimulus so low mm-hmm. that there is no response and then reward the dog. So
right.
with, for example, with thunderstorms, we can't do that because
right.
we can't
mess with Mother Nature.
The intensity of the stimulus. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why we need to be able to cue relaxation ahead of time so that when we ask for it, the animal knows what it feels like. Then the animal says, oh, okay, I can evoke that response. And when they do, they get rewarded for it. And then they learn that, oh, I can be rewarded for acting this way in the presence of this thing. And that's what we're trying to teach the animal to do over the long term. It's actually something that takes a while for the animals to learn how to do it. And what's very important, and you alluded to that, is control of the stimulus. It has to be low enough so that the dog can focus on what they're trying to learn as opposed to focus on the thing they're afraid of.
Good point. I knew you'd save it much better than I could ever. You should host this show. You're very good at this.
Well, sure, anytime. I love talking to you, Arden.
You know, is there anything in your studies that could relate to how dogs develop some of these phobias? Is there any genetic component? Is it something when they're in that puppy socialization period? Or what's the latest research show on this?
Some of the research seems to indicate that gun dogs are overrepresented in caseloads of dogs that have storm responses. But that is hard to verify since that we often are using caseloads from referral practices like mine. So that's a skewed population anyways because they're kind of self-collected. That's number one. Number two, Labrador Retrievers are the number one most popular breed of dog in the United States. So to say that they're overrepresented, you'd have to actually look at it in a different way because you're going to see more of them because there are more of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
What we do seem to know is that they start slowly for most dogs and get worse over time. So early intervention is important. So if the dog is already showing some discomfort, finding the safe place and teaching the dog where to go early on is helpful. Intervening with pheromones or medication early on is very helpful, not waiting until it's really bad.
Good point.
So that becomes very, very important. Another aspect that seems to be important as well is the fact that the dogs learn to chain together over time a sequence of events that predict a storm. So this is a classical conditioning paradigm, like Pavlov and his dogs with the bell and the meat. Many dogs learn that when the sky gets dark and it starts to get windy and a drop in the barometric pressure means it's going to storm. So as all of those things are presented, the dog becomes more and more agitated. And the time to intervene both with getting the dog to relax and maybe medication is at the very beginning. If the dog starts to pant and pace because it's become very windy and dark outside, that's the time for the pet parents to take the dog to their safe place and put them there to begin with, and if medication's called for, to use it at that time.
Now, we've talked a lot about like the dog-appeasing pheromone and some of the medications. There's others that have used things like these thunderstorm, either capes or blankets, or what do you think about those?
Well, first of all, let me say that I do believe that everything works some of the time and nothing works all the time.
Okay.
So that there may be dogs for whom these interventions are very useful. Mm-hmm. I will say that because I have a behavior referral practice as a board-certified veterinary behaviorist, I tend to see the worst of the worst, so that I don't routinely see dogs for whom these interventions are useful. And I don't really feel comfortable commenting on them for that reason.
Okay.
And I don't think it's fair. There might be dogs out there that they work for just fine, and then I don't see them, so how would I know? There is recently some experimentation on types of interventions that cover the dog's ears so they don't hear things the way they do before. And I think that it's all circuitous, in my opinion, is that once it begins, the important thing is being able to cue the dog to relax and at the very first sign. So, all these interventions might help to some degree, but we don't have enough controlled studies to say which dogs they would help the most, which I think is where people want to know, is if my dog does blah, 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 which intervention is the right one?
You must really love what you do because you just said in your practice in St. Louis, you take on the worst of the worst, don't you?
Well, that's what referral medicine is. Board-certified behaviors, that's often what happens. I would love to see dogs earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can be helped by the fact that many people don't understand the difference between a veterinary behaviorist and other individuals who work in the field. Many people can call themselves behaviorists, but it's looking at their training that makes a difference. So that a board-certified veterinary behaviorist is a veterinarian, which means they've gone to veterinary school and graduated from veterinary school. They have done a residency program in applied veterinary animal behavior. They have then written a case report and published that in a journal, written an article and had that published, and passed a two-day exam. So that these are people who have been taught how to treat behavior problems, whereas other individuals who call themselves behaviorists may not be as trained in learning theory and behavior modification. They certainly do not have the credentials to prescribe medication because they have not had the physiology or the medicine that veterinarians undergo. So hopefully people are aware that there's a difference between a training problem, which is teaching your dog to follow commands so that they perhaps don't do certain things, and a behavior problem where just because the dog can sit when you tell them to doesn't change the way they feel.
Right, and that's why I'm very happy that we have someone of your credentials. I mean, you spent a lot of time in school, and I have no idea if you're still paying back your student loans, but
no,
man,
I'm older right than you
away,
think.
You got lots of initials after your name. We have as our guest, I'm very honored to have Dr. Deborah Horowitz. She is a veterinarian and board-certified veterinary behaviorist. She's in the Missouri area, but she travels all over the globe to try to help people better understand some of the behavior issues facing their pets. And she does do a lot of presentations with her peers at many national and international conferences. Today, we were talking a little bit about some strategies to deal with dogs that have thunderstorm and fireworks. I mean, the spring and summer are coming. Mother Nature is going to, you know, have a little tantrum for us coming up. So I really do appreciate a lot of the tips that you've offered us. In closing, is there anything else you'd like to add that I may have forgotten?
The only thing I would like to add is that if you have a dog showing a behavior that's a problem for you or a problem for the dog, talk to your veterinarian sooner rather than later. The sooner we intervene, the more we can improve the quality of life for both of you. There's help out there for so many problems, and we can just make those pets feel better. So ask your veterinarian as soon as you notice that there's something not quite right.
And is there a website or anything you'd like to shout out?
You can go to the American College of Veterinary Behaviors website. You can also go to...
And what is that? What is that website?
That's acvb.org. And
okay.
You can also go to AV, as in veterinary, S as in Sam, abonline.org for the American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior website, where you can see their position statements on puppy socialization and dominance. And there's a public area where you can find someone, a veterinarian in your area, that's interested in treating behavior problems. And those are two great resources for pet owners.
I'm really glad. I'm going to say them again. Just make sure I don't sound like I'm on the farm going E-I-E-I-O, but it's dacvb.org and avsabonline.org, correct?
Right.
Okay, awesome. I get two paws up. Woohoo!
There you go.
Thank you very much for being a guest. You have really helped a lot of people and, most importantly, their dogs. And I'm glad you came back. You helped us with the kitties last time. Now you helped us with us dogs. And I would love to have you back down the road, too, if you're just a glutton for punishment.
Anytime, Mark. Just give me a call.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Horowitz.
You're welcome.
So at this time, I want to again thank Dr. Horowitz for being a guest on our show. She is a veterinarian and a board-certified veterinary behaviorist. That's like really primo studying. She knows what she's talking about. She was here to talk about thunderstorms and other phobias in our pets and what we can do about that. I also want at this time to thank my very, very great producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen each and every week. We are growing on Pet Life Radio. We've got a great lineup of different shows and hosts. I urge you to go to PetLifeRadio.com and sniff around. Whether you have a dog or a cat or a lizard or a bird or oh my, whatever, we have great experts as hosts and we have some of the very best guests on the planet. So, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, calling out to all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. I have just two words for you all. Oh, behave!
coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat, only on PetLifeRadio.com.